Hey folks, this is Rebel Rousing Rich Bergeron.
This is the Tornado Tony Pennycow.
And Psychic Tom Padgett.
And we have so much to discuss. A lot of crazy stuff happened over the weekend in mixed martial arts. A little bit here and there in boxing. Heather Hardy, our former guest there, won her fight. She KO in the third round, I believe. So
that if she ever became famous, when she did, she'd come back on the show.
Yeah. Okay. I always try to get people to say that.
So we're gonna see if we can get her back. I don't know that. Okay, well, we'll talk about it when we get to it.
Yeah. Funny story from the UFC women's fight the other night.
Yes.
Have you heard this story?
We have to discuss that, Tom.
Have you heard about her new sponsor? Yep, I just read this today. During the loss to Felice Herrig, Justine Kish pooped herself in the octagon.
Because that hit the internet very quick with pictures. I mean, that did not take long, and I just couldn't.
Way more credence to the story of Judo Jean LaBelle choking out
this boxer. No. What's his name? The actor.
Yes. Not Jean-Claude Van Damme, but the other guy.
Steven Seagal. No.
There's a lot of credence to that story being true, that when Judo Jean LaBelle put him in a chokehold, he shit his pants.
Well, apparently, they've got a rule on that if this happens again, the fight will be stopped due to sanitation reasons. And they're just not going to let the shit go on.
Yeah, literally. No pun intended. And the ref has to say, all right, enough with that shit.
Yeah, I tell you what, though, Miss Kish handled that pretty good.
Yeah.
Police said that if it happened to her, she'd be too mortified to ever fight again. But this girl just had a big deal, so what?
Yeah. That wasn't the craziest thing that happened this weekend either. Bellator trying to do their best to have a decent pay-per-view. Everything seemed to go wrong as far as, you know, what was expected. We were supposed to have a nice fight there with Michael Chandler. And somehow he didn't break his ankle, but he basically did something to the nerves. Anyway, Brent Primus got the lightweight championship belt off this injury. And so what happened was the fight got stopped for them to look at the ankle. Now, this was the weirdest thing because the announcers, you know, this is a new crew. They're all back together now. It's Mike Goldberg and Mauro Ranallo, another former guest of ours. Calls himself the bipolar rock and roller. And you know, all of these guys doing the announcing are saying, wait a second, you can't stop the fight unless it's over for this. You know, maybe if it's an eye and there's blood maybe running into the eye and you want to check on it, but for leg injury or something, it's not supposed to be able to happen. So they stop the fight and then they bring the stool over for Chandler to sit, and he sits, and then they're getting ready to call off the fight completely, and Chandler stands up to show, hey, I can stand, I can walk, and what they do, they take the stool back. So Chandler has no fucking idea that the stool is gone, and goes to sit back down on it, and flops right over. Kind of reminded me of Larry Holmes versus Mike Tyson. So anyway, Brent Primus, new lightweight champion.
Yeah, it reminded me of a bad incident. Musical chairs.
Did you just say it reminded you of a bad incident of musical chairs? That's funny. That game can get dangerous.
You know, just as an aside, I mean, we haven't even got to the rear strong controversy. And I'm like, we cannot get through a weekend without controversy. We just can't do it.
Right. And already the internet is going nuts with the one you're talking about. The main event of the fight night, of course, Michael Chiesa and Kevin Lee. And one of my favorite ones is they've got, for Mario Yamasaki, the referee, they've got the thing from Game of Thrones where they're doing the walk of shame through the town. They got that video in a tweet, and it says, Mario Yamasaki needs to be walked through the streets of OKC tonight. Shame. And basically what happened was, main event, fight's getting tight, you know, both guys are doing pretty good, but Kevin Lee is starting to get an advantage. He's got the back, gets a rear naked choke in, but Michael Chiesa, even though he doesn't have, you know, whatever belts you're supposed to have to be the best you are or can be at jiu-jitsu, I mean, he's pretty damn good at it, and he was struggling to get it off, but it wasn't devastating to the point that he was going to tap out. And Mario Yamasaki stops the fight, and right away, Chiesa is lighting into him. Like, are you serious? Like, I did not tap. And so, obviously, the fans were kind of pissed off. Kevin Lee was a little bit pissed off at the whole thing, too, because, you know, he pretty much could have had the fight stopped if it had continued, and then there would have been no controversy.
Right.
A lot of bullshit going around.
And the worst that could happen, remember, that was a blood choke, not an air choke. The worst that's going to happen, you go to sleep.
Right.
And then all these guys on, you know, all these mommy's basement guys on the underground, oh, well, you know, you don't want him to get brain damage. No, you don't get brain damage from being choked out from that kind of a choke. I mean, to me, it was just, be a great job, though, to be with the Nevada State Athletic Commission. You never get censored. No matter what happens, there's no mistakes.
Yeah, so Chiesa wasn't happy. He's obviously trying to get a rematch, and I don't know if there's going to be a chance of that, but Kevin Lee looked pretty good. I mean, Chiesa started off kind of toe-to-toe with him, but then Kevin started pressing the advantage, and, you know, he seemed to be the quicker and faster, more dominant guy in the later part of the fight, and just took advantage of that.
Well, it's like Yester was saying, it not only cheated him, but it cheated the fans, because they paid their good money to have the night cut short arbitrarily, because, believe me, there's only one psychic around here, and that's me, okay? And it ain't Yamasaki, okay, or Yama, whatever he is, Mario. And it took some of the shine from Kevin Lee's victory, because Kevin Lee was doing a great job, and the odds are he may have had that choke. It may have been close. I don't know. I wasn't feeling it, but still, you let it go.
Yes, sir. And I know we're bouncing back and forth, but we got a whole slate of Bellator card fights on Saturday night. And then Sunday night was the UFC. So, lots of stuff going on. And Tom sent me an article last week about Bellator getting ready to take over the scene from the UFC. I don't know if we're there yet. Madison Square Garden was kind of a flop and a success in the same breath. I don't know how that happens, but it was. My favorite fight was the main event. Chael Sonnen versus Wanderlei Silva. And, of course, I was watching it for free, but, man, Wanderlei finally did connect with a couple punches. It just about knocked Chael off his legs, basically. He just had wobbly legs and tested his chin real good. But then after the fight, this is in Madison Square Garden, mind you. Chael Sonnen tells the crowd how much he hates New York and walks out. So that was kind of a fluke. Matt Mitrione versus Fedor Emelianenko was not what a lot of people expected. You know what I'm talking about, Tony? From Rocky? Did we lose Tony? Tony?
Some of my clients.
Oh. So
I got to come out here. Everybody say, help out on the air.
Hi.
See, these are people I'm entertaining tonight. They're learning the way of the fist from the tornado, and that's TORNADO.
Ah, nice. So the Rocky movies, you know, the double knockout. Trion. They hit each other with, I think, right hands, and both of them went down. Then Matt scrambled a little bit to his knees and was able to throw punches, so just finished the job.
What was the fight a couple years ago in boxing? It was 3 knockdowns in 20 seconds because the first punch of the fight was a double knockdown. I know it went down on the first punch, and then they got up and Bundridge got dropped.
Crazy, crazy stuff. So we also had on that card Neiman Gracie beating Dave Marfone by a rear naked choke, second round. As I mentioned, Brett Primus got the win over Michael Chandler, TKO, first round, 222 into it. Zach Freeman got the upset of the night over Aaron Pico. This was another thing they said went wrong for Bellator, but, you know, it's kind of funny.
That was some debut. Supposedly the best prospect in the history of MMA lasted 24 seconds. Wow.
Yeah, Aaron Pico. And you know, the thing that sucks about this is that you know, there's a lot of people that are on the record saying this guy is going to be great, this guy is going to be awesome, and he gets wiped out. So it makes them kind of look like they don't know what they're talking about. But the thing that made me kind of chuckle was the difference between Scott Coker and Dana White. Dana White would probably lose his shit over something like this, and just blame Pico up and down for not living up to his potential. But Scott Coker just takes it pretty lightly. He's not really that concerned. No big deal. Things happen. So it's just one of those differences. And I didn't even actually know that Scott Coker is a black belt in Taekwondo. Did you know that, Tom?
Yeah.
Scott Coker has a background in Taekwondo, and so... You know, I'm always saying they should have a fighter in charge of the fight league. He was a fighter, so it makes a lot of sense that some of these guys are coming over from the UFC and like dealing with them. And we also had Douglas Lima pretty much dominates over Lorenz Larkin. Unanimous decision win there for him. He had a little rough early going. Larkin just couldn't hang with him after a second. About mid-second it started being too much trouble for Larkin to compete, and Douglas just kind of took control. And then we had one of the most disappointing fights of the night, Ryan Bader versus Phil Davis. That was kind of a wash. Bader did just enough to win somehow, but I thought actually Davis was the more active fighter, so I don't know.
I'm one of those old school guys where you gotta take it from the...
Yeah.
And if it's close, the belt shouldn't have changed hands. Now, at best, I would have said 3-2 for Davis. Yeah. At best. And when they said 49-46, and I says, well, at least two of them got it right. And then they announced Bader.
Yeah.
Now, granted, the rounds were close, but I did not see that Bader. And I like Ryan Bader. A fan of his, but I mean, I just think he did not do enough. I don't know. How'd you see it?
I thought Phil won the fight myself. I didn't see what Ryan did that earned him a big win. But.
So there's two black guys on the New York State Athletic Commission pulling the stool out from Chandler and...
Yeah. I thought you said two black guys. I was like, what are you talking about?
Unintended, huh?
Black eyes.
Yeah.
Okay. James Gallagher, Connor's buddy. Got the big win over Chinzo Machida with a nice rear naked choke in the first round.
I mean, he could have got clipped coming in. Those Machidas are pretty slick, but wow, good for him.
Yes, sir. And then Heather Hardy, as I said, got the win over Alice Yager. She has, while some of the other winners on the card struggled a little bit early, but came back and TKO'd Alice, and that was at the 4:47 mark of round 3. From punches. No surprise there. And another former guest, like I said, back-to-back former guests fighting on the same card. That's kind of crazy. In MMA, but Ryan Couture, I interviewed him back in 2008, I want to say, out there in Vegas. He by unanimous decision over Haim Ghozali. And fourth fight of the night, Bradley Desir over Nate Greb by knockout, 254 to the first. We had Anthony Giacchina beating Jerome 3 minutes and 40 seconds into the third. Matt Rizzo, R-I-Z-Z-O. You ever watch the Jerky Boys? Z-Z-O. Sergio Da Silva was his opponent. And Matt won by arm triangle choke there. First fight of the night, Hugh McKenna beat John Salgado by Kimura submission. And that was 4 minutes and 6 seconds into that one. And we go, it was pretty much the most stacked Bellator card of the year right there.
You know, what I liked about Heather was the way she reacted to adversity.
Right. And she liked it, apparently. She said, you know, she can't wait to get back out there.
And going into the third round, there was one part of me that wanted to see Heather work on the ground a bit, see how her ground game's improved. And we get down about halfway through the round, and she's back up again. And I was thinking, oh, I wonder what she's doing. But then again, there's an old cliche, if things are going your way, why change success? Because it's a fight, anything can happen. And then it was just after I thought that, there was the headbutt, and it looked very bad. It looked like Heather's eyelid may have been cut, and I think they were close to stopping it, but they let it go, and the crowd was fired up, and she just moved in and just punches in bunches and got the stoppage. So I love the way she reacted to adversity. Remember, her first MMA fight.
Right. I just waiting. Fight with Robbie Lawler. So that fight is not going to happen now. Doesn't specify what the injury is, but apparently Donald Cerrone is the one injured this time. It was Robbie Lawler that pulled out last time. So they're going to have to reschedule it. But they do say that the injury, whatever it is not that bad, and he could fight another month later. Says UFC 213, unlucky 13, I guess, because that was the one that Cody Garbrandt and TJ Dillashaw were supposed to fight on, too. So, supposed to be headlined now by Amanda Nunes and Valentina Shevchenko.
What the fuck was fight last night?
Tuesday night fights? No?
I think it was fights on Tuesday. I watched some of them from the Sands.
Oh, yeah, that's what I meant. Tuesday, not last night. Tuesday. So, how did those go down? I thought there was something interesting in the main event there.
The Sparrow fight was pretty damn good. Main event, I didn't really get to see.
Find a couple in here. Indio California, Oscar and the Great. He is 16-0 fighting Sergio Frias, who is 19-6-2 for the vacant NABF bantamweight title. We got Ryan Martin at super lightweight, 18-0 fighting Marcos Jimenez, who is 22-7. Welterweights Keandre Gibson, 16-1-1 fighting Dennis Doughty, who is 14-2. And I guess this might as well be our Jesus fight of the week. We got Lamont Roach, 13-0, fighting Jesus A. Valdez, who's 22-1. 20 wins, 2 losses, 1 draw. There's a big name from the past. Gamaliel Diaz, 40 wins, 16 losses, 3 draws, fighting Damon Allen on this card, who's 11-0-1. And we also have down in Atlantic City, Ray Robinson, 23-2, fighting Bradis Prescott, 30-10 there. And then co-main event featherweights, Luis Lebron, 8-0-1, and Manuel Body, who is 23-0-1, with a vacant WBA Fedolatin featherweight title. Then the big one is actually out in Ohio. Doesn't say where it's on TV, but it should be.
Ohio?
Robert Easter Jr. In Toledo, Ohio. Robert Easter Jr. takes on Dennis Shafikov for the IBF World Lightweight title. Easter comes
in. Has Easter fought since last September? That was a hell of a fight he had in heading last year.
I can check. Dennis Shafikov comes in 38-2-1. Easter.
I got to send you guys an email.
When's Easter?
Guess who's got boxing working with rounds and weights?
Nice.
Yeah. All you got to do is sign in with your website or your email address.
Yeah.
So you put in, say, Rich Bergeron, whatever a password, and then you can look at weights, you can look at rounds, you can look at all that, because I got access to it again.
Nice.
So no more complaints about BoxRec.
All right. Last fight for Robert Easter Jr. was February against Luis Cruz.
Oh. Okay. Yeah, because I went to the fight in September, which was pretty rough, which was when he won the title.
Richard Comey, who is 24-0. And he was a lot tougher than the other Comey everybody knows about, right?
Yeah, right.
Easter Jr. and Shafikov are in the main event. Then we've got Ivan Golub at super welterweight. He's undefeated at 13-0, fighting Jermonte Clark, who's 11-0. And if that ain't enough action, we've got middleweight Julian Williams, 22-1-1, fighting Joshua Conley, who's 14-1-1. And Wesley Tucker, undefeated at 14-0, fighting Enver Halili, who's 9-0. And I believe Halili was in a fight where it was they were knocking each other down all over the place too. Just last year, it was like the round of the year. They knocked each other down so much, and then Halili came back and won that one. They showed that on one of the ESPN cards this year. All right. So last week there wasn't a whole heck of a lot going on. The big one this week is Manny Pacquiao versus Jeff Horn. Jeff Horn's only got 17 fights, 16 of them wins, one of them a draw. Pacquiao comes in with 59 wins, 6 losses, and 2 draws for the WBO welterweight title here. And it's in Jeff Horn's backyard in Queensland, Australia, so I guess he's got a shot, but I don't know. It's an uphill battle, I think. Pacquiao still looks good. We also got co-main events there. Jerwin Ansajos, who is 26-1-1, fighting Tairu Kinoshita, who is 25-1-1 for the IBF World Super Flyweight title. In the light heavyweights, Umar Salamov, 19-0, fighting Damian Hooper, who is 12-1. That one is for two titles, WBO International Light Heavyweight title and the vacant IBF International Light Heavyweight title. And then we got Shane Mosley Jr., the son of the original, fighting David Toussaint, who is 10-0. Mosley Jr. is 10-1. So, obviously not taking baby steps with him at this point. Moving him right up and along. Still waiting for this Sure Dog thing to kick in. So, that pretty much does it for the upcoming boxing schedule this coming week.
So what do you guys think about the Manny Pacquiao fight this weekend?
I basically think that the only thing going for Jeff Horn is that it's in his home area.
But yeah, I mean, it's true. But it's hard to say because you don't really know much about the guy.
Yeah.
And you always got to think Pacquiao was getting older, never had the greatest chin in the world. You never know, if he's going to be distracted with everything going on, you know, his political career and all of that, and trying to secure a big money fight. Could he overlook this kid? You don't know.
Yeah, a lot of factors going into this one.
What are the odds on that one, Tony? Have you checked?
I did not check. But, I mean, I'm sure Pacquiao is a pretty solid favorite.
17 fights. Pacquiao has 59 wins. For number 60. So, yeah, it's going to be really tough for Horn to pull off an upset there. But if he does, that'll be a big story. Big, big story. Anyway, getting back to the UFC Fight Night 112.
Well, if he does,
go ahead, Tom. Go ahead, Tom. Tom.
Well, if he does, it'll put a final nail in the coffin of Mayweather Pacquiao too.
Yeah. I think that ship has sailed twice already.
Let's hope.
Kevin Lee obviously beat Michael Chiesa. We talked about that controversy. Co-main event was Tim Boach taking out Johnny Hendricks by head kick and punches. And what a brutal head kick it was. Right on the money. And Tim's a Maine guy from up there in Maine. And knows a lot of people in the same circuit that I was training with there for a little while. Johnny just can't get it together. Couldn't get it straight for the weigh-in. So I think it was at a catch weight. But, yeah, he went down by TKO in the second round, 46 seconds into that one. As we mentioned earlier, Felice Herrig got the win over Justine Kish, who survived a choke attempt. That was pretty nasty in more ways than one. And she got the unanimous decision. One interesting thing about Felice after the fight is she had a very tearful press conference after the fact, and kind of broke down about how maybe she's not pretty enough or whatever. The UFC doesn't want to promote her and sell her, and she just started bawling. And even in the post-fight interview on TV, she dissed the UFC hard. So it's kind of funny to see that, because you know, this is like a new phenomenon for these fighters to actually be bitching at the UFC in public. It didn't used to be this easy for these fighters, and now it is, so it's just interesting to see. And now, someone like her saying that, she's just moved up to a nice prime spot on a main card, and, she gets a good win, and she wants the recognition. She wants the push from the promotion, so who can blame her? I don't know. We also had Dominic Reyes beating Joaquin Christensen by TKO in the first round. That was 29 seconds in. Tim Means beat Alex Garcia by unanimous decision. Dennis Seaver got a majority decision win over BJ Penn, who did not look very good. Clay Guida beat Eric Koch by unanimous decision. That was a good fight. Marvin Vettori beat Vitor Miranda by unanimous decision. And then Carla Esparza beat Marina Moros by unanimous decision. Daryl Horcher beat Devin Powell by split decision. Jared Gordon beat Michael Canones by TKO. Second round, 4 minutes and 24 seconds in. And in the second fight of the night, Tony Martin beat Johnny Case by unanimous decision. And leading off tonight, Jeremy Kimble got a TKO win over Josh Stansbury in the very first round, 1 minute and 21 seconds in. Another big UFC story this week. Conor McGregor wants to fight Khabib Nurmagomedov after he knocks out Floyd. So he thinks. He wants to do it in Russia on top of this. Khabib in Russia. So, pretty crazy stuff there. Assuming that he doesn't need 12 months off after Floyd kicks the shit out of him. We'll see. We don't have any UFC fights again until July 7th. Johnson versus Gaethje there. Bellator is not having anything until July 14th. So, the only thing we got going on this weekend is the Professional Fighters League at Daytona. And I don't know if we talked too much about this before, but Professional Fighters League is a brand new fight league with Ray Sifo involved. And a lot of big money people. And they got some of the same people as World Series of Fighting. But they're doing things differently. They're going to give these guys a monthly stipend rather than a per-fight pay. Although I think they also get per-fight pay. But this is happening in close proximity with NASCAR. Daytona Beach here in Florida. This is their first big event. And John Fitch is fighting Brian Foster in the main event. John Fitch is 29-7-1. Brian Foster is 27-9. And then we got the co-main event, Smilino Rama, who is 10-2, fighting Ronnie Marks, 16-5. Second fight of the night, Joao Zeferino, 21-8, fighting Herman Torrado, who is 14-3-1. And then we got first fight of the night, Jason High, who is 20 wins, 6 losses, fighting Carlos Fodor, who is 11-5. That's pretty much it. That's all the content I have in front of me, pretty much. You guys have anything else to add before we call it a night, early?
Totally non-combat sports related, but I know a few weeks ago when I sent you guys a picture of my latest, as I call it, round of ink acupuncture, Tom so eloquently questioned my sanity, which you really should never be questioned, because we know I have none. I'll be sending you guys a photo from work tomorrow, which is going to hammer home the fact that whatever's residing between the 2 ears ain't working all the time. I have a coworker. I wear Hawaiian shirts, work every Friday. A lot of people do it in the summer, Hawaiian Fridays. They consider summer from Memorial Day, Labor Day. I consider it from early March to mid-September. The year I will wear Hawaiian shirts. Some very loud and obnoxious. Well, I saw this one online. It was a black shirt with pink, those things on there, flamingos on it. Yeah. And one woman saw a picture and she goes, oh my God, that's the most, nauseating, disgusting shirt I've ever seen. You wear it here, I'll probably throw them up. Which probably forced me to go order it. and it just actually arrived today. The other day, I stopped at a dollar store before work and got a pink flamingo and put it on her deck. She walked in, saw it, accused me, and I said, "Why do I have to be accused?" She goes, "Well, was it you?" I said, "Yes." Well, not only to go with black and pink flamingo shirt, but I have a hot pink T-shirt to go on underneath it and a pink flamingo hat. Photos will be taken, be posted on social media, and I will make sure to email you gentlemen copy.
So you're gonna change your nickname to the Pink Panther?
Yeah, the pink flamingo. Yay, guess what? You know when I went to Vegas a few years ago for the Pacquiao Brown fight, you know what hotel I stayed in?
The Flamingo.
The Flamingo. that wasn't the idea. There's we'll be at comp rooms there.
Yeah.
So
it's a weird place. I haven't been in there, but I've been by there a couple times.
Well, I mean, hey, they had gambling in there. You know, they have the Jimmy Buffett bar or Jimmy Buffett hotel right next to it. So I got some Margaritaville. And they have flamingos running around the courtyard. So, I mean, how could I say no to that?
I didn't know that. Actual flamingos, huh?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Let me see if there's anything here in the boxing headlines. Oh. Clarissa Shields has her next new opponent, and she's going to be on Showbox, and she's going to be fighting for a title against Nikki Adler. Big, big step up for Clarissa Shields and women's boxing. We'll see where that goes. See what else is going on. What else? So let me get that. Well, the whole debate there with the Tai Chi guys and the mixed martial arts guys in China got heated again, and they had to bring in the police the other day after a mass brawl. Here's a good one. So, Clarissa Shields, two-time Olympian. Let me get back to this one. She's been 77-1 is her record in her whole career. Second consecutive gold medal at the 2016 Games, and became the first American to win back-to-back boxing gold medals. And now it's just her fourth pro fight, and she's going to be going for a world title for the women's super middleweight world title against Nikki Adler. This doesn't tell you here, but designation is. She's 3-0 with one KO, and she's going against a tough opponent here, Nikki Adler. All right. Here's a good one. Lorenzo Fertitta was deposed under oath in the antitrust lawsuit recently. This is between a lot of the fighters from the UFC, and it's they've been designated as a class, so a lot of people will be affected if they win. And it's a big antitrust lawsuit. One of the people involved behind it is the guy that started the Mixed Martial Arts Association. Basically trying to sort of unionize fighters, but in more of a they use the word association so that it's not an official union. And they were the first to do it. See, a lot of people copycatted, but haven't really done much. But these guys are actually suing as not just part of the union, but just to do the right thing for these guys. So Lorenzo Fertitta was deposed. And then this guy says, Paul Gift of Bloody Elbow has the details surrounding the testimony, and it appears Lorenzo made a well-coached defense against the argument put forward by the fighters that the UFC has a monopoly broth, a confluence of several factors that allow the UFC to maintain near control of the market, causing harm to fighters and consumers. These factors include high barriers to entry, control of elite fighter talent, and exclusive television deals. When asked about barriers to entry for competing with the UFC, Fertitta mentioned obtaining a license and a venue, neither of which he believed to be very significant. And lastly, there's various levels of capital that could be required. From this point, Fertitta's likely preparation by UFC attorneys begins to show. Since fighters will need to show antitrust injury, he noted that the capital requirements are no different from other businesses. You know, it's the same in most businesses. If I want to get into the gaming business and go get a license, I guess it's not that high barrier of an entry, other than I have to have a clean background. If I choose to compete with or borrow 15 machines, there's a different barrier than competing with the Golden Nugget that's right behind us. And then he was asked about television distribution, and his response was a strong one, although of course very one-sided, given that nearly all those organizations struggled, or still struggle in the case of WSOF, to make any kind of money and are not major players in the industry compared to the Ultimate Fighting Championship. He said under oath, part of the competitive landscape historically has been distribution would be the final stage. And as I mentioned before, and it's just fact based on what has happened historically, promotions can enter with very little barriers to entry and go from literally never have promoted a fight to being on CBS, like Elite XC. Or you can go from what, in your terms, was a regional promoter in Strikeforce getting at the Showtime, and at the flip of a switch, you're a major player in their industry. You can go from being a startup in World Series of Fighting to getting a multi-fight media contract with NBC Sports and become a major player in the industry. You can go from being a startup now to going and doing a deal with ESPN, HBO. I guess when you think about how many channels there are on television, it gets to be hard to get your arms around because there's so many points of distribution. And he also said there are thousands, maybe multiple thousands of fighters around the world. Because once again, this is a global sport and a global market that have the aptitude and the capability to compete at the highest level. There's no question about that. When you talk about, and I say this with my experience of being the CEO of the UFC, there's so much talent in markets like Brazil, Russia, now starting to evolve in Asia, and of course North America, given the level of talent and training that now exists. It's literally an endless number of fighters that have the ability to compete at the highest level and be the highest level fighters. And they're saying this case could actually go into 2019. It's so complicated. But interesting stuff from Fertitta testimony. Alright, I guess that's it for us. Till next week.
Well, gentlemen, happy and safe 4th of July weekend. I got me a 4-day weekend, and I'm very excited about that.
Awesome. I will be in Maine. Fourth.
Nice.
I'm told I'm getting kidnapped.
Nice.
My girlfriend is kidnapping me.
Steve Rollins and tell him I said hello.
Yes, I will. I saw the funniest thing. They had a dog that was just like Bronson. It was a bat boy dog at one of the minor league baseball teams. It was on Twitter the other day. Hilarious. He just, like, picks up the bats and brings them back. And
nice.
Awesome. He plays fetch, but in a constructive manner.
Nice. I like it.
He brings back the sticks. All right, guys. We'll talk next week. Thanks for stopping by.
All right. Have a good weekend. All right. Bye.
Happy Independence Day.